Today's shir is Masecht Nazir Daf Nun Dalad. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Nun Dalad Amud Aleph L'Tapar Amud. At the end of our previous shir, the Gemara had extensively explained the words of the pasuk V'chol Hashiga Pnei Sod V'chalal Cherev Oy B'Meis Oy Be'etzem Odom Oy B'Kover. And the last words we had learned in the previous shir was that the Gemara taught us that the words the kever come to teach us the halacha of a kever sosam, come to teach us that a kever which is completely closed is a kever which is completely closed gives off tamei. And the Gemara now teaches us the detail of that halacha. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah Masechta Olos Perug Zayin Mishnah Aleph that says tuma. If you have a mace buried in a coffin and there is no tefach separation between, there is no separation of a tefach between the mace and the tap of the kever, the halacha is bekas v'oila. The tama goes all the way up, or bekas v'yeredis, and it goes all the way down. If the tuma, however, is contained, if there's a tefach between the nifter and the lid of the kever, then the tumah is contained. And that's the halacha that the Mishnah, that the Gemara meant to teach us in the previous year. The Gemara continues in teaching us that the tumas that we discussed primarily till now were tumas that have tumas oil. That a mace, we know, is metamah b'oil. That anything that's in the oil of the mace is tameh, like the mace itself. And anything that's in the oil of the mace becomes tamei. But now the Gemara identifies that there are certain tumas that are only tumas negiya. Vilo gaba negiya, says the Gemara regarding the halachas of touching tuma. Amar Yehuda, Tanya, the pasuk says, v'al negeya be'etzem abecholo abemeis abecover. The halacha, again, the Gemara here is focusing on what this pasuk is teaching us, and the Gemara focuses that the fact that this pasuk begins with the word v'al hanogeya, that there are certain tumas that are only metama b'maga b'masa, they only give off tuma when they touch, when you touch the tuma, or when there's an oila tuma, but there's when the maga touching or masa carrying, but not tumas oil. Etzem, so etzem kitzaira. The teaches us the halacha that if somebody touches a bone that's as small as the size of a lentil of a nifter, the halacha is that the person becomes tameh. Abachalol, that comes to teach us the evra anachlol manachai, that if a limb has been removed from a living person, vein by al halas arucha, if it would have been remained connected to the person, it cannot regenerate, it cannot get well again. Such as, again, the halacha will be that that aver is metama b'maga or b'masa, but it won't be maga, it won't be metama b'oil. Abemeis is coming to teach us the aver hanechla manameis. If an aver is removed from a mace, the halacha, and again, there is not enough bosser around it that it could, that were it still connected to a person, it would regenerate. So here too, it only has tumas maga or masa, but doesn't have tumas oil. Oyba kever, says the Gemara, what about the word oyba kever? Amar Reish Lakish, it's coming to teach us a kever shlofnei adiva, that if somebody touches a kever that was there from before Matan Torah, he's tamei. And actually, there's a serious discussion amongst the Paiskim. What is the halacha regarding Kivrei Oiv de Kachavim? Our Gemara spoke about a kever of a person, of a Jew, who was buried there before Matan Torah. What about that there was no yet Tumas oil? What's the halacha regarding Kivrei Akum? It's a machloikis Rishonim, because there's a machloikis Tanoim. Rav Shimon ben Yochai's opinion is that Kivrei Akum are not Mitama boil. The Rabbanan Paskin, the Kivrei Akum are Mitama boil. And Tosfos quotes the Ri that the halacha is not like Rav Shimon, and therefore, just like Kohanim, of course, have to be very careful about coming close to the kever of a Yisrael, so too should they be careful about the kever of an Akum. Many Rishonim, however, hold that kivrei Akum are not matama ba'oil. Kivrei Akum are only matama b'maga. And that is the opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam says, v'ein ha'goy matama ba'oil. V'dovazeh, says the Rambam, kabolahu. It's the Rambam in Hilchos Tumas Meis, Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Gimel. The Rambam says, however, that even though there is no tumah by kivrei Akum, he says that a nachri who passes away is matama b'maga b'masa. The Yireim's opinion is that Akum is not even matama b'maga b'masa. Just like says the Yireim, there is no tumas oil by Akum, there is no tumas magu masa by oil. But the Yireim himself says yesh oisrim v'machmet tovav brocha v'mekel oihifsin. The Yireim agrees that l'chatchila one should be machmer. However, our meaning is that certainly as far as maga, certainly as far as touching the kever of an Akum, we're machmer that the kever Akum is matamba b'maga, even if we're more lenient regarding tumas oil. And that is the Rambam. However, the Rambam's opinion is that there is no tumas akum by kivrei Akum. But as I said, the Shulchan Aruch says nochan lezoyer shloilelech Zohar HaKoyin, Shloi Leilach, HaKivri Erev D'Kachavim, the Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya, Simen Shin Ayin Bey, Sif Bey, says that a Koyin should avoid, the Kever of an Akum. Continues the Gemara. We just learned that Reish Lakish taught us the Halacha that if an Aver doesn't have the proper amount of Basra on it, it's not Metama. Hi, Eva Menames. Ask the Gemara what. It's only Matamba Maga. It's not going to be Matamba Boil. So ask the Gemara, Hi, Eva Menames. When we speak about the Eva Menames here, Hechidami, exactly what is the case we're speaking about? Either Isbe Katsum Kasirim, if there's a bone, the Eva is obviously a bone. And if there's a bone that's as small as the size of a lentil, so haven't we learned Haina Nagea Batsim? And what's the difference, how much basar there is or not? Ella, says the Gemara, the halacha here is that the aver is less by etzem kasayra. It's even smaller than the size of a kasayra. But there's a new chiddush that an aver, a filahachi, rachmana, rabia, that an aver gives off tumas maga. Amalach, Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says that this is not the way to understand. Loilam de isbe. That there is etzem kasayra. Vim ene inya lamagoi. So if there's an etzem kasayra, it already gives off tumas maga because it's the size of an etzem kasayra. Says the Braisa, what we're going to learn from here is, indeed, we didn't need the Braisa to teach us the halacha of maga, tene inya lamasa. It's coming to teach us that even though the pasuk says a negeya betzem, the Torah is speaking about touching, but as we just finished explaining, we don't need a limud to teach us tumas maga, because it already has an etzim kumsoira. The pasuk is coming to teach us that it has a din of masa, of carrying it, also will give off tuma. We learned in the Mishnah that if a nazar became tamei with any of the tumas that caused him to become a nazar tamei, the halacha is he has to shave his hair and start the tahara process, which, as we've been learning many times, involves umazah b'shlishi b'shvi. He has sprinkled on him the mechatas of the paradum on the third and the seventh day of his tahara process, and then the soiser, and then he begins to count his. He loses all the days, and then he brings his kabanas and starts counting it done. Says the Gemari Bailu. But now we have a question: the tahara process is completed on day 7. The kabbonis are brought on day 8. But now ask the Gemara, Ibailhu, Hadatani, what we learned in the Mishnah, Achei Tar, that he only begins counting when he becomes Tar. When does he start counting the Naziris again? It says the Gemara, Shvi Koi, and he could start on the seventh day, add the Ovid Harav Shemesh, and he doesn't begin until Harav Shemesh. Omani, and this is going to follow the opinion of Elezer, that we learned the Elezer's opinion on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, that the Nazir is allowed to start counting his new Naziris already on the seventh day, even though, as we just said, he doesn't bring his Kabbonis until the eighth day, but he could start counting his new Naziris already on the seventh day. And where the Mishnah says, Achi Tor B'yoyim HaShvi, he finishes becoming Tor on the seventh day, and then on the eighth, and then he could start that day counting, and the Kabbonis he'll bring on the next day on the eighth day. A Dilma, or maybe the way suggests the Gemara to understand the Mishnah, is B'shmini Koi. The Mishnah is speaking that he only starts counting on day 8, or my Achiyotar, because what does it mean when the Mishnah said Achiyotar? It means Achiyavi Kabbonos, until he brings his Kabbonos, and the Kabbonos cannot be brought until day 8, and the Mishnah will be following Rabbanahi, the opinion of the Rabbanan. So that's the question. How do we understand Pshat in the Mishnah? So says the Gemara, Toshma, we're going to bring a Raya. The Mishnah, we're going to learn on Nundalar on the base, teaches us, the Mishnah speaks about all the Nazirim that don't have to go through this process. The Mishnah says, Maschel Moinim Yad, that you begin counting right away. Horesha, from the Resha it seems that the Nazir, who's a more serious Nazir, Mai Achiyatar, means Achiyavi Kamenoisov. Our Mishnah, unlike the case that we're going to be speaking about later in the year, where in our case it's speaking about that the person is a full-fledged Tamei, in this case, the halach is that he has to only be able to start counting his Naziris on day 8, because Mani, who is our Mishnah's opinion, Rabbanahi, Dama, ain't the Naziris to the Tara, you can't start counting your new Naziris at Shemini until the 8th day Loi Chayla. So as we discussed, our Gemara just spoke about the Tumah of Anakum. We quoted the Machloikus Rishonim, to what degree do Kivrei Akum give Tumah. It seems that everybody agrees that there's no Tumas oil. We're more machmer regarding Tumas Magam. And the Mishnah said that there was no Tumas oil before Matan Torah. And the question therefore comes up, if there is no Tumas oil for Niftarim before Matan Torah, what will be the halacha regarding a Kohen entering the Maris HaMachpelah? The Maris HaMachpelah is where we know that our Ovis are buried in, but since it was before Matan Torah, the halacha is that there's no Tumas oil, we just learned. So indeed, of course, a Kohen would not be allowed to touch the Kvarim of the Ovis, because we're learning there is Tumas Maga, but what about Tumas oil? And a lot of Paiskim suggest that we could be lenient with Kohanim entering the place of, like, the Maris Machpelah. There are those, of course, that are Machmer. Another question is, what's going to be the halacha if a Kohen is allowed to go into a place where there's a skeleton, and we need to know, is that skeleton give off tumah? And particularly, there's sometimes where Kohanim have to go visit a doctor, and the doctor's office is in a place, is in a university or in a place where there are skeletons. The halacha is, the question is, can Kohen enter such a building? And the Paiskim take the position, the Shas Chuvas Hartzvi for Tzvei Pesach Frank, and Yerideya, and Shas Chuvas Hartzvi Yerideya, Simon Reish Pei Gimel, this Gossadis, and he says that we could rely on the Roiv. And since Roiv people who passed away are Nochrim, and we just finished learning in our Gemara that by Nochri there's no Tumas oil, and there's a halacha that we often discuss when we speak about tumah and tahara. And that is the halacha of Sofik tumah b'rishus rabim and Sofik tumah b'rishus hayochid. From the halachas of Saita, we learn that Sofik tumah b'rishus rabim is tahar, and Sofik tumah b'rishus rabim, Sofik tumah b'rishus rabim is tahar, and Sofik tumah b'rishus hayochid is tumah. But the definition of Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim in this context, not the same definition as we would understand Tumah, Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim as far as Hilchos Shabbos. Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim in this context is this a place where there are people or there more than three people or not? And certainly a doctor's office would not be considered a Rishus HaYochid. It would be considered a Rishus HaRabim, and that's why the Paiskim are of the opinion that in a Rishus, that since it's a Suffolk, the skeleton, we're not sure if it's from a Nochri or Yisrael. We have room to be lenient and say Suffolk Tamay Rishus HaRabim is a Suffolk. We have a Roiv and we have a Suffolk. And if the Kohen has to go there, particularly if it's a situation where he has to go visit a doctor, there's room for leniency. Says the Mishnah. Our Mishnah continues to discuss the halachas of, Tumas Nazir. And as we just said, there are certain Tumas that a Nazir is exposed to that aren't the type of tumah that will cause him to forfeit his tumah, and therefore, in those days he won't lose his tumah, he won't forfeit the days, and he won't have to go through the giluach process, and he won't have to bring kabbonis. Avol says the Mishnah has schachas. Schachas, the word schacha means shade, and what it means is they are trees that give off shade. And the Mishnah is teaching us that if somebody walks under the branches, the sechachas of a tree, he's not tamei, it's not considered a tumas oil. And the machlokes rishonim, why not? Tosfos says that the case of the tree that we're speaking about are that the branches of this tree are not thick, and therefore they're not sheer tefach. And even though there is a mace under one of these branches, since each distinct branch is not wide a tefach, in order to have tumas oil, you have to have a branch that's a tefach wide. Here we don't have branches that are tefach wide, and therefore we don't have that concern. The Rambam says that the branches of the sechachas are very weak branches, and they can't hold something on top of them. And since they're weak branches, they don't create a tumas oil. Moreover, the Rambam says that even though there is certainly a mace under them, but since these branches are so weak, we don't have to be machma. Others say we're only lenient in a case where we're not sure that there's a mace there. So we could include, as we just mentioned, the concept of Sofek Tumah Rishus HaRabim. The next case is Paros. Paros is the stone that is sticking out of a gate, and somebody that walks under those stones is not Tameh. And again, the reason he's not Tameh is because this is not a case of a real oil hatoma. And here too, there's a machlokes rishonim. Tosfos explains, there is certainly a mace under one of these stones, but we don't know under which stone there is this kezias of a mace. And therefore, midaraisa, he's tohor, because we apply the concept of Sofek Tumah Rishus HaRabim. But Chazal were machmer, that if somebody walks under these stones, he's tumim with rabbonim. And in fact, Tosfos says, since we know that there is a kezias of a mace here, we just don't know under which stone that kezias is found. But if somebody's going to walk under all the stones, then he certainly walked in a place where it was tamei. And therefore, Tosfos says, he will be tamei b'deraisa. So it turns out, according to Tosfos, the halacha of sechachos and parayos are different. The sechachos, as we said, according to Tosfos, are speaking about branches of a tree that are not a tefach wide. And therefore, even if there's certainly a mace there, but if the branch is not a tefach wide, it's not a tumas oil. Whereas, according to Tosfos, the parayos, these stones, are a tefach wide. And therefore, they are considered an oil. The only issue here is that we don't know under which stone the kezias of the mace is to be found. And since we don't know under which stone to find the kezias of a mace, we have the sofik tumah. But that's only when there's a case of a sofik, because we don't know under which stone the mace is. But if he walks under all the stones, then he certainly has walked in a place that there's an oil over a mace, and he will be tummy. The Rambam, however, explains paros similar to the way he explained sichachos, and that the paros, the stones that are coming out of the wall, are weak stones, just like the branches, he said, were weak branches. And since they're weak stones and weak branches, the halacha is they're not considered an oil, and there's no tumas oil medaraisa. Next case, base of pras. A base of pras, which is often mentioned throughout Shas, as a place that there was somebody buried in that field, and the whole field got plowed up. And since the whole field got plowed up, it's not Tomei Midraisa. It's only Tomei Midrabonon, because maybe even though the entire field got plowed up, there may be left over a bone, as we've been discussing, and that's the size of a Saira. And we've been learning that an Etzim Kasaira gives off Tama, but since it's only a Suffolk, it's only a Tomei Midrabonon. The next case, which we're going to speak about in the Gemara as well, is Eretz Ha'amim. If somebody goes into Chutz La'aretz, the Chazal said that anybody enters Chutz La'aretz becomes Tamei, but even though he becomes Tamei, it will not affect the Nazar's situation. It will not affect the Nazar's situation that he will be considered Tamei to the degree that he forfeits his Naziris, etc. And actually, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos Daf Tezvav Amud Beis says that there were actually three stages to this gezeirah, to this decree that Chazal made Tumah on Eretz Ha'amim. The Gemara says that originally Yosi ben Yo'ezer ish Treda and Yosi ben Yochanan ish Yerushalayim decided that the earth of the Eretz Ha'amim, that somebody touches or carries the earth of Eretz Ha'amim, will be Tumah. But they only said it's only Tumah Mesophic. And therefore, if Truma would touch such earth, a Kohen would not be allowed to eat that Truma, because of course, as we know, you're not allowed to eat Truma that's Tameh. But even though normally Truma that becomes Tameh must be burnt, we wouldn't burn it. Just can't eat it, let it rot. The second stage in this Gezeira was at 80 years before the Churban HaBayis. Chazal added that the Avir Ha'aretz Ha'amim, that somebody enters the avir, the airspace of the of Eretz Amim, even though he didn't touch the earth of the Eretz Amim, he will be Tamei. And as we're going to discuss in Mitzvah Shem in the Gemaras, there's a question, what would be the halacha if somebody enters the Eretz Amim in a Shida Teva Migdal, in a box, will he be Tamei or not? And the third stage of this Gezeira is not that they decided that somebody who enters the Eretz Ha'amim is not Tamei, just Misafik, he's considered Vadai Tamei. Moreover, as we've discussed in previous Shiurim, the halacha is that if somebody accepts Naziris in Chutz La'aretz, the halacha is when he comes to Tzisrael, he has to start counting his Naziris all over again. But that's only in a case where he accepted the Naziris in Chutz La'aretz. Because primarily we learned the opinion of the Rambam is that Nazirus is supposed to be observed in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore somebody accepted his Nazirus in Chutz Laaretz, when he comes to Eretz Yisrael, he has to begin all over again. But our Mishnah is speaking about a case that he took upon his Nazirus in Eretz Yisrael, and the Mishnah is teaching us that even though he took on the Nazirus in Eretz Yisrael, which as we learned is the proper way of accepting the Nazirus, if he enters Chutz Laaretz, he doesn't become Tamei to the degree that, as we just learned, that he would undo his Nazirus like any other Nazir who becomes Tamei. The next case is Begoilu. If somebody touches the part that's on the top of the kever, this is Rashi's Pshat, Taisus Pshat, Goilu is the top of the kever, and Doifik is the side of the kever. That's how Taisus explains Goilu and Doifik. Taisus, however, says the Rashi Masechta Ksubis seems to learn that the Goila and Doifik are both referring to the top of the kever. Or somebody, Revi Estam, if somebody touches just the Revi Estam of a mace, V'oil Roiva Atzomis, if somebody is in the oil, we spoke about this extensively in our previous year, if somebody is in the oil of a Roiva Kav, of a Tzomis of a Nifter, or Kalim Hab Negeim Benes, if somebody touches a Kali that touched the mace, that halacha is that if somebody touches Kalim that are touching a mace, that person becomes Tamei. But the Ravid says that that halacha only applies if I'm touching a Kali as the Kali is touching the mace. But if there was a Kali that touched the mace, and now that Kali is not in contact with a mace, and now I touch that Kali, the halacha is that I won't be Tamei for 7 days, I'll only be Tamei for that day, and I'll need Harav Shemesh. And the Kesef Mishnah says that not only is this the opinion of the Rambam, of the Ravid, but the Rambam will agree with this as well. Furthermore, there's a machloikis, which is connected to a machloikis that we discussed in our previous year. In our previous year, we spoke about the halacha of cherev harei kecholol, that any knife that touches a nifter is considered like the mace itself. The question that we discuss in that shir, machloikis rishonim, is it only a metal keli, or is it even any type of keli? So many suggest that the same machloikis we had in our shir, in our previous shir, when we spoke about cherev harei kecholol, is it talking about a metal keli or any type of material, that will be the same here. And even though he's tumah, as the Mishnah teaches us, that tumah is not the type of tumah that will cause that the nazir should have to start his naziris again. B'mei sfira, b'mei gomrei. A person who was decided, who chazal, who the kohen declared as a metzaira, the halacha is that such a person is supposed to remain chutz l'machna, all 3 machnas. He's supposed to be out there for 3 days. And then when he becomes healed, the halacha is he has to go through a process. The halacha, you may gomroi, are the days that he's completely quarantined chutz l'machna, and the Yimei Sfiroi are the days that after he Baruch Hashem became well, he has to have a 7-day procedure. We discussed, we're bringing 2 birds. During those 7 days, he's counting those 7 days. The halacha is that that tumah does not cause that he should lose his entire naziris. In all these cases, Al Elu, on all of these tumas that we just learned in the Mishnah, ain't in a nazir megaleach, the nazir does not have to go through a procedure of cutting his hair and forfeiting in the naziris. But still, says the Mishnah, the halacha will remain that megaleach, the halacha is the megaleach, that still maz v'shlishi v'shvi, he has to purify himself with having the mechatos spritzed on him on Yimei Shvi and Shvi. Ve'ein a soiser as a koimim, but he doesn't begin, he doesn't lose the days that he counted. Umaskel umoinim yad, after he comes tor, the loch is, he starts counting, he resumes counting his days of Naziris from where he was holding. In Mitzvah Shem, in our coming shiurim, we're going to discuss this halacha more. Is this always the halacha? It matters how many days are left to his Naziris. And the special kabbonis that a nazir that becomes tamei, says the Mishnah, Eloi, don't the carbon, those special kabbonis will not apply to this type of nazir. Says the Mishnah Be'emes Amru. And the rule that the Rambam tells us in the Perish of Mishnayis is that whenever the Mishnah uses the word Be'emes, it means that this is Halach L'Moshe means Sinai. The Bartanura says it doesn't necessarily mean that it's Halach L'Moshe means Sinai. What it rather means to say is that this Halacha is so strong and has the same strength and meaning as if it were a halach l'mosh m'sinai, but not that it's actually a halach l'mosh m'sinai. Be'emes amru, yemei hazov or azova, if a man or a woman became a zov or azova, and we know that a zov and azova have to count zayin and kiyim, or yemei hazgeiro shemitzayra, the days where the nazir, the mitzayra, who's a nazir, are quarantined, harei ein olam loy, they don't count towards the naziris. But his opinion is not only though they cause you to lose the days, but actually they could be counted as a continuation of your days of Naziris. So the Mishnah begins. The Mishnah spoke about Sichchais and Prois. So it says the Mishnah, Elo Sichchais. What is the definition of Sichchais? Ilan Meisachalaritz, the branches of a tree that are hanging over the earth. And there's a kezayis min a mace over there. And pros are stones, hayoytzis min a gedder, that the person is tamei, but only up, not to the degree that it would cause him to lose his naziris. Now, of course, this is a question, how a kohen could travel under a tree, that the tree is also hanging over a cemetery, over kvarim. And the truth is, B'tzela Chochma and the Shas Chuvus Melamed Hoyel discussed this. And taking what we just learned in our Mishnah, they say that only if the branches are a tefach wide do we have to be concerned. But if they're not a tefach wide, our Mishnah Gemara said that they're not tamei midaraisa, and of course it would be relevant when we're speaking, if the kohen is traveling under a tree, which is in a non-Jewish cemetery. Rav Ozner in the Truvis over there, Chelek Ches, Simen Reish Nun Zayin, says that a kohen should be very careful whenever traveling next to a cemetery where there are trees hanging over the cemetery and where the kohen is traveling. So we spoke in our Mishnah about a tumah of Eretz Amim. We described the history of the tumah of Eretz Amim. So now the Gemara asks, Ibai Eretz Amim, when we say that there's tumah in Eretz Amim, how do we understand that tumah? Is it Mishum Avira Gazra Leah? Is it that they said that the airspace of Eretz Amim is tumah? And therefore, even if somebody were to enter the Eretz Amim in a Shida Teva Megdol, even if he were to enter into the Eretz Amim in a box, once he enters the airspace of the Eretz Amim, he's tamei. A duma, or is the tumah mishum gusha gazra leah? And the earth of the Eretz Amim, Chazal were concerned, have a tumah. The reason they were concerned that it has a tumah is because they're still the mesim, the people who died by the Dor HaMabul, and we don't know where they are buried. Or there may be people who were buried in different places around the Eretz Amim, and we don't know if the earth is not an earth that has in it an Akum. So Tosfos says there's way to understand the Gemara is when the Gemara says Mishum Avira Gazra Ba, it's the Gemara did not mean to say that it's only Mishum Avira Gazerba. Everybody agrees that Mishum Gusha Gazerba, that as we just discussed, there was a real concern about Neftarim being buried in the Eretz Amim, and we don't know if they're buried there. And therefore, everybody agrees that the Tumah that was decreed on Eretz Amim is Mishum Gusha Gazerba. When the Gemara said Mishum Avira Gazerba, the Gemara means to say that not only did they make a Tumah on Eretz Amim Mishum Gusha, they also made a Tumah Mishum Avira. But not to mean to say that the mandama that says Mishum Avira is not concerned Mishum Gusha. So Gemara, again, is now trying to understand what is the Tumah of Eretz Amim, which will be relevant to how a person entered the Eretz Amim. Tashma, we learned in our Mishnah that although the Tumas that were listed in our Mishnah are not the type of Tumah that will cause a Nazar to become a Nazar that became Tamei, but still, Umazah B'Shlish B'Shvi, the person who went into the Eretz Amim has to go through the process of Mazah B'Shlish B'Shvi. So, E Amrit, if we're going to say that the Tumah is Mishum Avira, so then anybody who entered the Eretz Amim is Tamei, and therefore anyone who entered the Eretz Amim is Tamei, and therefore has to go through the process. Hazar Lamali. So then the question is, the halacha of Hazar was said by Tumas Meis. So if we say Mishum Gusha, so there is Tumas Meis. But if there's Avira, where's the Tumas Meis? Alav, it must be Mishum Gusha, and that's why you consider that you came in contact with Tumas Meis. Says Marlaylam, I'm Malach Mishum Avira. And so if it's only because of Avira, why is it considered that you have to have that you're Tumas Meis? It's not talking about this case. Hachanami Mastabra, that even though the Mishnah says Mazah B'Shlishi B'Shvi, the Mishnah does not mean to say that in all of the cases that were listed in the Mishnah is the Halacha the Mazah B'Shlishi B'Shvi, because one of the cases that were mentioned in the Mishnah was Kael Manoigim Memeis. Ask the Gemara, is the Halacha the Hani Kaili B'nei Azar Ninu? Is the Halacha that somebody who touches a Kaili, that touches a mace, is the Halacha that he's going to have Hazar Shlishi V'Shvi? Our Mishnah presumably is talking about all types of kalim. And the halacha is, if the keli that touched the mace is not a metal keli, and then a person touches that keli, he only becomes a Rishon L'Tumah. And a Rishon L'Tumah doesn't require Hazar Shlishi V'Shvi. El Shema Mino, that even though the Mishnah said Umazah B'Shlishi V'Shvi, it wasn't speaking about all cases of the Mishnah. Bashara, it's speaking about other cases of our Mishnah. So our Gemara just mentioned extensively the halacha of Tumas Eretz Amim. And the question is, what is the halacha of Kohanim Bezman Hazeh? Are Kohanim allowed to enter Eretz Amim? We know Kohanim are not allowed to become Tamei. And of course, a Kohen may not enter a home, a house, where there's a nifter, Rechman Hatzlan, Tumas Oil, certainly may not come in contact with a nifter. The question, however, is, what about Tumas Eretz Hamim? It's a machloikus achroinim. The opinion of the Bach, the Prisha, the Shach, and the Taz say that this halacha doesn't apply bizman hazeh, because it only applies in a time where Eretz Yisrael was in a state of Tahara. So since Eretz Yisrael was in a state of Tahara, therefore, we didn't want Kahanim to leave Eretz Yisrael, which was in this pristine state of Tahara, and go into the Eretz Amim. However, Bizman Hazeh, where we don't have that situation, unfortunately, there's Tumah in Eretz Yisrael as well, the halacha is not applicable, a Kahanim may travel to Chutz Lartz. The Shas of Tshuvas Shvus Yaakov discusses that this halacha, and he says because of the reason that we just said, the Kahanim who live in Chutz Lartz have no need, are not obligated to go to live in Eretz Yisrael, but a Kohen who is in Eretz Yisrael should maybe not to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz Laaretz, because he's going into the place of Tumas Eretz Amim. So if he's starting off in Eretz Yisrael, he should not exit to the Eretz Amim. And this is a question that's been asked over the years. May Kohanim from Eretz Yisrael exit to go to Chutz Laaretz? And the Paiskim take an approach. It really depends. Why is the Kohen going to Chutz Laaretz? If the Kohen is going for a Dvar Mitzvah to Chutz Laaretz. And the other consideration to take is there somebody else? Is there another Kohen that could do it? If there's another Kohen that can do it, then the Kohen should not go to Chutz Laaretz. If he's been in Eretz Yisrael his entire life, if he's the best person for that job, then he's allowed to go, says the Shvus Yaakov, to Chutz Laaretz, Bezman Hazeh.